Well, good morning and welcome to Wyndham Community Chapel service of April 4th, 2021. Today is Easter Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead through the power of God. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas and it's great to have you listening from your homes or wherever you are today. Well, 2,000 years ago, a man died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose to life again. This fact, that a dead man came to life again and lives forevermore, is why we celebrate Easter. The meaning of Easter is that the Son of God paid the price for our sins and rose again to reconcile us to God. Easter means that our greatest enemy, death, has been conquered. Easter means that our sins are forgiven, that we are made right with God. Easter means that Christ is truly the King, seated far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. The meaning of Easter is that Jesus is the Lord of new beginnings, new days, and new lives. Easter means that the great power of God was on full display at the garden tomb where Christ lay. That same great power that raised Christ from the dead now works in us who believe. The meaning of Easter is that God can move mountains, split seas, restore life, and roll the stone away. Easter means the poor in spirit will possess the kingdom of heaven, the mourners will be comforted, the meek will inherit the earth, and the seekers of righteousness will be filled, the merciful will find mercy, and the pure in heart will see God. The meaning of Easter is that the promises of God come true in Christ. Easter means that we can proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind. The meaning of Easter is that the gospel is to be shared far and wide. Easter means that love is stronger than death. It was for love that God gave His only Son. It was for love that Christ died on the cross. It was for love that the risen Lord intercedes for His children. Easter means there is hope for us. As Jesus said, "Because I live, you also will live." Let's pray and commit this service to the Lord. Father, you love this world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that we might be called your children. Lord, on this day that we celebrate your resurrection power that brought eternal life to us, help us to be grateful and full of praise this day. Let us have hearts of thankfulness for your sacrifice. Let us have eyes that look upon your grace and rejoice in our salvation. Help us to worship you for the salvation that is ours through faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Receive our praise for the cross and for destroying death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that first Easter morning. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just a few reminders to us this morning. We are grateful for your faithfulness in giving to our church and to the ministry of God through it. And just continue to provide that. You can send it in the mail. You can come on Sunday mornings and put it in the offering plate, or you can drop by the office and drop it off there. Men's Bible study is on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. All men are invited to come. Ladies, you're invited to come on Tuesday mornings at 9:30. Both of those meet here in the church building with masks and social distancing. Well, each time that we come together, we come before the Lord and share our needs and concerns and offer our thanks and praise to Him. And so I invite you to bow with me in prayer this morning. Dear God, thank you for that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and power that is in your name. Thank you that you hold the keys over death. Thank you that by your might, Jesus was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have new life in you. Thank you for your plan and thank you that you made a way for us to live in your presence for eternity. We praise you for your strength. We praise you for your lavish love. We praise you that you are conqueror, victor, redeemer, and friend. We praise you that you are deliverer, the worthy one, the everlasting Father, and our great and awesome God. We confess our need for you. In a world that is so self-sufficient and rewards independence, we acknowledge our need for a Savior and Lord in our lives. Our needs are great, but your grace is greater. So meet our needs in your sovereign will and unending mercy. We ask for your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. As we face temptations and struggles on our journey of faith, we ask that you be our defense and rear guard. Keep our way clear, removing the obstacles and covering our pitfalls. Lord, lead us as we journey to you. Shine your light on us, through us, and over us. Help us to make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us. May all your plans succeed. Help us to reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. All we are and have is due to you. We thank you, God, for your indescribable gift of our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To you be glory and honor on this resurrection day and every day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning on Easter Sunday, if you have a Bible close by, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 16 this morning in a sermon entitled, The Great Exchange. An exchange is when you give one thing and receive another in return. The Great Exchange took place on that first Easter morning and has everything to do with our faith and with our eternity. For there Jesus exchanged his life for yours, so that your life can be changed. Let me read for us our text, Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 5. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Henry Nguyen tells a story about a sculptor who was working hard with his hammer and chisel on a large block of marble. A little boy who was watching him saw nothing more than large and small pieces of stone falling away left and right. He had no idea what was happening. But when the boy returned to the studio a few weeks later, he saw, to his great surprise, a large, powerful lion sitting in the place where the marble had stood. With great excitement, the boy ran to the sculptor and said, "Sir, tell me, how did you know there was a lion in the marble?" Well, in Jesus, we see this same transformation take place through the great exchange. As a way to help us understand the principle of exchange, I want to tell the story of Barabbas. Barabbas is mentioned by name in all four Gospels, occupying 38 verses, which is more space than what is given to Judas. Much of what I'm going to share reflects what is found in the 15th chapter of Mark. Barabbas, or Baraba, literally means son of the father, and he seemed to come out of the womb at war with the world. He rebelled against the authority of his parents, and when he got older, he revolted against the authority of Rome. He is a prime example of the truth that you make your decisions in life, and then your decisions make you. I think he would have preferred to call himself a freedom fighter, but the gospel accounts refer to him as a notorious insurrectionist, a rebel, and a robber. John called him a bandit. I think he would have liked the sound of that. In reality, he was an outlaw and a murderer, though he likely favored the term terrorist because it always made people afraid of him. To help you relate, there's not much difference between Barabbas and Osama bin Laden, a Bashar al-Assad, or the worst ISIS terrorist you could imagine. His proudest moment was when he helped ignite an insurrection against Rome. Things were going pretty well until the Roman militia showed up and he somehow avoided capture. He knew that if he were ever arrested, he would face the death penalty, not to mention extreme torture and mistreatment. But one day his luck ran out. His two friends and fellow freedom fighters were also arrested. They were bound and thrown into a dark dungeon, awaiting their sure death by crucifixion, the cruelest form of capital punishment ever invented. On that fateful Friday morning, they woke up knowing that this was their execution day. It was likely producing real fear because he had seen crucifixions before and they were embarrassing and excruciating. Well, as they waited, they heard loud noises coming from the courtyard. It was hard to make out what the people were saying, but I heard them yell, "Barabbas." And then, very clearly, he heard, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" With those words, he pressed himself against the back wall of his cell, trying to get as far from the door as possible. But after just a few moments, he heard the guards outside their cell and then the key turned in the rusty lock. They called his name, and when he didn't answer, they came in with their spears ready to strike, forcing him out of hiding. Since he was the leader of the terrorist cell, they probably wanted him crucified first. As he stumbled out of the cell, he was blinded by the sunlight and was stunned to hear a soldier say, "You've been released. You're free to go." What? He couldn't believe it. Were they just cruelly teasing him? Maybe they wanted him to start walking away so they could throw a spear in his back. But then he heard one of them mutter something about a Passover custom in which Pilate would set a prisoner free, like an execution amnesty. Unbelievably, the people wanted Barabbas to be free. He couldn't understand this because he was guilty of all the charges leveled against him. And then he heard that someone named Jesus would be taking his place on the cross that had been picked out for him. Well, that didn't make much sense because while he didn't know much about Jesus, he had heard that he was a righteous man. He knew what he had done was considered treason, and he knew what they did to terrorists. He deserved the death sentence. Why would a righteous man trade places with a rotten man? Well, he didn't spend too much time standing around because he didn't want the authorities to change their minds. He ran through the crowded courtyard while people continued to scream, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Barabbas eventually made it outside the city limits before he could catch his breath. There, he sat down in the shade and fell fast asleep. Eventually, he was jarred out of his slumber by the sounds of a crowd cheering and soldiers jeering. Others looked sad and were crying very loudly. Then he saw his two buddies carrying heavy crossbeams up the hill. It was then that he noticed Jesus. He had just fallen to the ground when a soldier enlisted someone else to carry his cross. Barabbas wanted to run away, but another part of him wanted to watch everything. So he moved closer. When they all arrived at Golgotha, or you may know it as Calvary, his two buddies were cussing and cursing. Jesus was obviously in pain, but he was quiet. Then a soldier shoved his two terrorist friends to the ground, while another soldier quickly nailed their hands and feet to their crosses. Another grabbed Jesus and did the same to him. And then all three crosses were lifted up and dropped into a hole dug to anchor them. And then it hit Barabbas again. He was supposed to be on the middle cross. Why would Jesus take his place? He was going to die the death Barabbas deserved. And then he heard Jesus shout, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Barabbas thought, "Are you kidding me? How could Jesus ask the Father to forgive those who did this to him?" For a fleeting moment, he wondered if he could be forgiven as well. And then one of his friends started cussing again. It was hard to hear everything, but he thought he said something like, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Unbelievably, for the first time ever, the other partner in crime stood up to him and rebuked him sternly, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We are being punished justly, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then Barabbas could hardly believe his ears. His friend, who had never been religious in his life, turned to the cross in the middle and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It looked as if Jesus smiled, and then he said these words, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." There were some other things that Jesus shouted, but there was one word Barabbas couldn't get out of his mind. Tetelestai, which means it is finished, because the debt is paid in full. He also remembered Jesus looking up into heaven as he said, "Abba, into your hands I commend my spirit." This was truly the Son of Abba. And then he breathed his last. One of the Roman centurions was standing at the foot of the cross and started praising God, declaring, "Certainly this man was innocent." Well, Barabbas got queasy as he realized that an innocent man had died in his place. Then an earthquake and all sorts of other crazy things happened, like the thick curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Barabbas got out of there as fast as he could and didn't stop running until his legs and lungs gave out. He kept replaying those words, "Father, forgive them, to testilitai, it is finished." This man was innocent. An innocent man had died instead of him. At the last minute, we changed places, and in the greatest exchange in human history, he was killed on Barabbas' cross. The guiltless died for the guilty. He died on a tree so Barabbas could go free. He lost his life so Barabbas could live. Well, the Bible says that I am just like Barabbas, and so are you. The Bible says that you and I are rebels. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Our trespasses are toxic and deadly. And we deserve death according to Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And the last half of this verse describes the great exchange, that we can have eternal life as a gift because Jesus died in our place. It says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus exchanged his life for yours so that your life can be changed. Isaiah 53 verse 5, written some 700 years before the greatest exchange in history, says this, "But he," Jesus, "was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." That means the Savior went through all he went through for us, instead of us, and in our place. Now, some of you may be wondering why we've been emphasizing the death of Jesus Christ on Easter. And here's why. Until we understand why Jesus died, and that he died in our place as our substitute, by giving his life in exchange for ours, we won't understand why Easter is so amazing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is confirmation that the sacrifice of Jesus' life satisfies the payment for our sins. Easter is the exclamation point for the great exchange. The core truth of Christianity is this: Jesus exchanged his righteous life for our rotten life by paying for our sins through his substitutionary death and resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4 give a concise summary of the gospel. Says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." The resurrection of Jesus is a really big deal. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17 says, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. "Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." We could say it like this: our rottenness is counted as righteousness because of the perfect righteousness of Jesus, who died for us and was raised for us. Now, don't miss this. None of this is automatically applied to your life. You must believe it, and you must also receive it. If we back up one verse to Romans chapter 4, verse 24, we read that it will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. Now, as far as we know, Barabbas was not changed because he didn't accept the spiritual exchange that Jesus provided. For after Jesus ascended to heaven and the first church began, Barabbas is still referred to as a murderer in Acts 3:14 with these words, "But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." Barabbas would not have been called a murderer if he had been converted, for it was not the practice of the early church to name a man's sins after becoming a Christian. Barabbas is the first person who could literally say that Jesus died in his place. Jesus changed places physically with Barabbas. But because Barabbas did not believe and receive Jesus Christ as his personal sin substitute, he was not saved spiritually. He was so close and yet so far away. Some of you are close as well, but until you accept the exchange, there will be no change. For Jesus exchanged his life for yours, so that your life can be changed. Once you accept the exchange, you can experience new life according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Jesus died in our place, which frees us from the penalty of sin. And because he rose from the dead, we are freed from the power of sin. You see, Jesus exchanged his life for yours so that your life can be changed. So here's the question. Have you accepted this exchange so you can be changed? A commentator said it this way, "Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive." 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In the early 1800s, George Wilson murdered a government employee in cold blood while stealing from the U.S. Postal Service. Wilson was found guilty and sentenced to be hanged. For some reason, however, the President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, granted Wilson a full pardon. Strangely, Wilson refused to accept it. No one knew what to do about this because it had never happened before. Well, eventually the case made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice Marshall summarized their ruling with these words, "A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson will be hanged." And so, he was. Well, because you make your choices in life, and then your choices make you. What about you? You've been pardoned because of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you must accept the exchange before it can be activated in your life. If you don't receive the greatest exchange in history, you'll be history because you will spend eternity in a place called hell, separated from God for eternity. But you don't have to go there. There's a pardon waiting for you with your name on it. Every other religion in the world is built on two letters, D-O. Christianity is built on four letters, D-O-N-E. Done. There's nothing you need to do because it's already been done for you. What's left is for you to receive this pardon from God and accept the exchange of Jesus Christ in your place. If you'd like to do that, you can by saying something like this to God. Jesus, I'm a sinner and I have failed big time. I admit that I'm a rebel just like Barabbas. I repent by turning from how I've been living and trust what you accomplished on the cross when you died in my place as my substitute, paying the price for all that I've done and then rising on the third day. I believe, and now I receive you into my life. I accept your pardon. Save me from the penalty of my sins. I want to be born again to a living hope through your resurrection. Please give me your resurrection power to live the rest of my life for you and under your leadership, for you are my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, we cannot change the nature we have inherited from Adam and Eve. We cannot pay the price of our sin debt. We cannot be accepted by God because of the good things we do, the bad things we refrain from, or because we are as good or are better than others. We cannot be accepted by God by religious intensity or devotional practices. We cannot breathe spiritual life into ourselves. But the good news of Easter is that you don't have to, because Jesus accomplished it for us. Accept the great exchange of Jesus and trust in what he has done for you. If you prayed this prayer this morning to accept the great exchange of Jesus, please let me know. I'd love to share with you some first steps on your new life in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Thank you for sending your Son as our Redeemer, paying the penalty of our sins. Thank you for raising him from the dead in victory over sin and death. Thank you for offering this gift of eternal life through trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection as sufficient payment for our sins. Jesus, thank you for exchanging your life for ours on the cross. We are humbled by your love for us and willingness to die in our place. On this Easter morning, we celebrate eternal life that you make possible to us through Jesus. May our lives reflect our gratefulness and the reality of our relationship as your sons and daughters. I pray this in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen. Well, today's benediction comes to us from Hebrews chapter 13. And now, may the God of peace, who brought back again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with everything you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, all that is pleasing to him. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and have a great Easter celebration as we reflect and remember all that Jesus Christ has done for us.